I thought about it all week, trying to come up with a title that would be sufficient for this text, and I really couldn't come up with one. So this is a thought for today, a message after the storm. Amen. A message after the storm. Amen. May not have anything to do with this particular text, but we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us after the storm. All right. Yes, I'm on. Amen. Paul writes this letter to his protege, Timothy. Now, y'all going to have to pray with me this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
And he writes it at an interesting time. Because Paul says to Timothy that in the last days, there are going to be perilous times. He was talking about the time where, at the point where life on this side would be winding up. Amen.
Amen.
He was talking about the last days. And Paul said, Timothy, look, there's going to come a time where it's not going to always be good. Because in the last day, the times are going to be awful. He talked about these times that they were living in back then. And he could see some signs of the last days even in his time. And I don't want to rain on nobody's parade. I came to help somebody. I didn't come to hurt nobody.
Amen.
But we can see some signs of the last days in our time.
Amen.
Amen. Because in our times, somebody has said that you're either in the rat race or you're in the rut race. Amen. Now, I didn't get very many amens on that, so it looks like I'm going to have to make it plain for you. Because see, when you're in the rat race, that means that you get up in the morning and you're already behind as soon as you get up. You got a whole lot of stuff that need to be done and you haven't even, your feet haven't even hit the floor. And you know that you got to get back in that rat race. And when you feel like you're in the rat race, I know what it feels like, because it feels like you never do catch up. You never get enough done. Someone help me, somebody. You never do get caught up with what you need to get accomplished, because you're in the rat race. And you're always on that wheel and you're just running and running and running. And it seems like that you never get a chance to take a rest, because you're in the rat race. Somebody ought to help me this morning, because you're in the rat race. I know you can't say amen real loud, because you don't want the person that's sitting next to you to know that you're in the rat race. But there's somebody in here this morning that's in the rat race. Well, if you ain't in the rat race, I wanted to let you know that you might be in the rut race. Well, what is the rut race, Pastor? You see, in this life, I don't care how good a Christian you are, you can get in a rut. Amen. See, you're driving along in on the road of life, and every now and then, you can hit a slick spot. And if you're not if you're not careful, you can end up in the ditch. Anybody been in the ditch before?
Amen.
I know I've been in the ditch sometimes. I was driving along and the storm of life came up, and before I know it, I found myself over in the ditch. But see, they told me back there in the old days, if you just stay in the rut, son, everything will be all right. But I found out if you stay in the rut, you find yourself in the rut race. What is the rut race, preacher? Well, you see, if you stay in the rut, that's all you know. And you just go through life in that same old rut day. Somebody help me. Day after day, you're in that same old rut. And when you look on the left side, it looked like it did yesterday. And you look to your right, it looked the same as it did the day before. And you're in a rut race. Well, I want you to know that whether you're in the rut race or you're in the rat race, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth and the life. I'm the one that can get you out of the rat race. I'm the one that can get you out of the rut race. And so that's what Paul says to Timothy. He's talking to these people of his time. And he said, listen, I want to tell you something, Timothy. In the last days, that you're going to have some folk that's in the rat race. And you're going to have some folk that's in the rut race. But what I want you to let them know is that they got to keep their eyes on Jesus. And you know, when I was studying this text, I really wanted to go on and get to verse 2. Because, see, I knew he was going to be talking about all of those folk over there between verse 2 and 4. You know, those are the folk that had the problems in his day. Those are the people that were in bad shape and they needed to have a dose of the Holy Ghost. Well, you hold on to that because I'm coming back to it. But I couldn't get to verse 2 till the Holy Ghost pulled me over into verse 5. Because see, in verse 5, he says that these are the folk that have a form of godliness. And what that did to me, Jerusalem, see, I thought that Paul was going to be talking about folk out there in the world. But I realized that he wasn't talking about folk out there in the world. He was talking about folk right up in here. He wasn't talking about folk that didn't know God. He was talking about folk that knew God. But see, they had a form of godliness. Well, I see I'm going to have to make it plain to you. You know, whenever you build a house, you're going to have to put it on a foundation. And whenever I've seen people build a foundation, the first step, Brother Gary, in building a foundation is you got to make a form. Because when you put a concrete in there, if you don't have a form, that stuff will run all over the place. And you still ain't got no, I'm preaching, but ain't nobody saying amen. So you got to have something to keep what you're going to build your house on in order. Because, you know, we want everything done decent and in order. So when you build this form is to make sure that what you turn out with looks like the form. Well, see, we got a form, and the form is Jesus Christ. But see, what we want to do is we want to have a form of godliness, but it don't look like Jesus Christ. Oh, they say, you know, you're supposed to turn the other cheek, but I ain't Jesus. I'm going to look over on this side. So I ain't talking about nobody, but I ain't trying to miss nobody. Because, see, we got a form of godliness, but it ain't the form that God sees. Because God said, if you want a form, I want you to look at my son, Jesus. And that's the only form that I want you to look at. Don't you look at a form out there in the world. You can't be like the folk in the world, but you got to be like Jesus. You can't be like the folk on Wall Street. You got to be like Jesus. You can't be like the folk on your job. You got to be like Jesus. Because he is the image of the invisible God. Amen. So he said to have a form of godliness. But this is the good one. But denying the power thereof. So folk know the Lord. Amen. They grew up in the church. Glory, hallelujah. They were raised to live better than what they live in. But see, they are denying the power. This week, you know, here in the great city of Calhoun, we had one of the worst power outages that we've had in recent times. Somebody say amen. Amen. And some folk, power was out for almost 5 days. Somebody else say amen. Amen. And you know, all during the week, we were calling on the telephone and getting on the conference call, and we were checking with one another to see, is the power back on? Did they get the power restored, you know? And you know, somebody know where I'm trying to go with it. Because see, when you don't have your power, you can't get anything to work. Amen. You flip on the light and the light don't come on. You turn on the TV and the TV don't come on. You try to go to put something in the microwave and you hit the little button and nothing comes on. Because you ain't got no power. So what Paul was saying is that these folk are denying the power. In other words, they got a power outage in their life. And what they need to do is get the power restored. Because see, when folk got their power restored, then they could turn the light on. Amen. When the power was restored, then they could use the microwave. And I'm saying to some, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but if you are living in a life that ain't got no power, child of God, you need to get your power turned back on. I wish I had somebody. Look, if you get your power turned back on, some of the problems that you have in your life will roll away. If you get your power turned back on, God will make a difference in your life. Amen. Listen, he says they deny the power thereof. And he said, of such, turn away. I said, oh, this is good right in here, because he said, of such, turn away. You see, in this time of the year, we call it cold and flu season. Uh-huh. And during that time of the year, you have to be careful. Yeah. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of stuff going around. Amen. Because if you ain't careful, somebody will be coughing in your face. Amen. Somebody will have a cold or the flu. And if you get in their presence, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So y'all ain't getting this. If you get around them, Sister Brittany, you can catch what they got. Because it's cold and flu season. So during this time of the year, what we do is we stay around folk that's contagious. Glory to God. Amen. You got to try to stay around contagious folk. So when somebody go to sneezing and they go to coughing, you need to start. I'm going somewhere. Amen. Because Paul said that these folk, they got a form of godliness. Uh-huh. But they deny the power thereof. And he said, what you got to do is you got to stay around folk like that. Because you will mess around and you will catch what they got. And he talked about what they have right there in at the end of verse 4. The first one I want to talk about, he said they are lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God.
Amen.
See, here's what you got to realize is that everybody say they love the Lord. Everybody confess that they love the Lord. But if you watch the way they live their life, many times they love things more than they love the Lord. You don't believe me? Make a man about some of their things. Amen. I can't talk about nobody but myself. I love my children. Glory to God. And you won't see me act ugly. Do something to one of my children. I ought to get more amen than that. Amen. We all love our children. But how many people know that the first person on the list, we're supposed to love God? Amen, amen. There's a wristband out there, and it says, I am third. Amen. And what that means is, God is supposed to be first, okay? Amen. And you have to watch people that put themselves as numero uno in their life. Amen? Amen. Okay? Because God is supposed to be, come on, numero uno. Yeah. There are some folk that they say they love God, but that God ain't numero uno. Uh-huh. They say that they really, really believe that Jesus died for their sin, but Jesus might be resident in their life, but he ain't president. And till you make him president, then he's not numero uno, you numero uno. And God is not going to share his throne. I'm preaching, but ain't nobody saying amen. God is not going to share his throne with anybody. Amen. So you got these folk that love the Lord. But and see, here's what they are. I've heard that you ought to love God and use things to serve others. But I see in these last days, come on somebody, that folk are using others to serve themselves and ignore God. That's what we got happening in the last day. Because folk put themselves at numero uno instead of putting God in first place. But my Bible tells me to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But then here's another thing he said that we have to watch out for in these times. These are people who are lovers of themselves. But then another one, he said they are covetous. That it is in verse 2. He said they are covetous. You know, some folk ain't satisfied with what they got. But they want what you got. They can't be content with what God has given them, trying to look over the fence and see what God has given somebody else. But God, my Bible said that Paul says, I have learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. So that means that if I got a whole lot of money in the bank, I'm content. But if my checking account is overdrawn, I'm still content. Because God loved me whether I got some money or I don't have no money. God loved me whether I got a new car or I don't have no car. God loves me if I got a roof over my head or if I don't have a roof over my head. God loves me regardless of what my circumstances, because God loves it not based on what I do, but it's based on what Jesus did. Glory to God. Covet. But then he says another thing here. Watch me now. Because he said they are boasters. Amen. You know some folk. Amen. They think it's all about them. Amen. And if you don't believe me, ask them. They'll tell you. Yeah. You know the song we say, how great thou art? They say, how great I am. Amen. Taking credit for stuff that they don't need to take credit for. Because see, anything that's good about you, it ain't because you're so good. It's because when God made you, he decided to put whatever it is that you think is so good in you, but you didn't have nothing to do with it. Because God told Jeremiah, he said, before I I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was going to put in you. I knew how you was going to turn out even before you got here. And God said that if you think anything about yourself, you ought to not boast in yourself. But David said, I will boast in the Lord. I wish I had time, but I got to keep going. Because he said they are boasters, but then also they are proud. Now, you know the Bible says pride cometh before a fall. And we know that over in Isaiah that the Bible said that Satan got kicked out of heaven.
That's right.
Because of pride. He was a lighted angel. He was up at the top of the angels. But he got lifted up in pride and decided, I'll make myself like the Most High God. Follow me, Brother Gary. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to ascend to the highest and I'm going to be like God. And we got to be careful not to try to make ourselves God in somebody else's life. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Because see, only God is the one that can deliver you out of the stuff that you in. Only God is the one that can make a difference in your life. Only God is the one that can take you out of that rut race. Only God is the one that can take you out of that rat race. Only God is the one that can make a difference. So don't be so proud. Because you got a degree. Your PhD.
Amen.
And your EED.
Amen.
Amen. And your GED. Because God can take somebody with no D.
Amen.
And do more with somebody with no D.
Amen.
Than he can do with your PhD. Talked about blasphemers, and y'all a smart church, so I know y'all know what folk that blaspheme is, you know. They don't say what God said, but they say what they want to say.
Amen.
Amen. You see, you got to be careful. Brother Gary read it over there in Ecclesiastes. When you come in the presence of the Lord, let your word be few.
Yeah.
Because you got to be careful what you say before God.
Amen.
I see some folk, they just believe they can say whatever is on their mind. Amen, sister. They just think they can say it all.
Yes, sir.
That's all right.
But when you stand before God, you need to let your words be few. Because see, here's what I've determined in my life. See, my words can't do nothing. But the Bible said that the grass wither and the flower will fade. But the word of God is going to stand forever. See, my words are going to fall by the wayside. But God's word is going to always be here. I can tell you that I'm going to do such and such a thing, and I might can't do it. But God, when God says he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank, child of God. But you know, there's something else, Jerusalem, that really disturbed me about this text. Because after Paul talked about all of those folk, that they ain't out in the world, but they up in the church. You know, he came to this one here in verse two, where he said, disobedient to parents. Now, I was thinking that he was talking about folk, that all of that other list of people that we were talking about were individuals who had achieved a level of independence in their life. Oh, okay, I'm going to make a plain to y'all. I thought he was talking about grown folk.
All right.
Amen. Because most of those things that you're talking about in verse 2 are not described in the way children naturally are.
Right.
Right. That's right.
You have to be around here a while.
That's right.
To develop some of those traits.
Amen.
Amen. But I wrestle with it, and I wrestle with it, and I ask the Lord, I said, why would he put disobedient to parents right there after all of this stuff that it appeared that he was talking to grown folk?
Right.
And then the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Don, realize that folk that's disobedient to parents when they're children, they just grow up and be disobedient to God.
Glory. Amen.
Maybe it didn't hit you like it hit me. But see, when I was coming up, I wasn't the best child. But one thing I was going to try to do, I was going to try to do what mom and daddy said. Amen.
Amen.
Because the kind of parents I had, if you didn't do what they said, there was going to be a price that you was going to have to pay. And when I see folk that's disobedient to God, I wonder what kind of parents did they? And if they had good parents, what was going on in here and in here that allowed you to think that you could go against what your parents say? And by the same token, what makes us think in here and in here that we can go against what God said?
Well, I see y'all don't want to, y'all don't want me to stay there that long. Amen. So we're going to move on. The other one is unthankful.
Amen. You know, we ought to be thankful for what God does for us.
Amen.
Because, listen, nothing that we have is because we are so good. But it's because God is so great.
Yes, sir.
And this week was a perfect example of that because, listen, the hands of protection that was around our lives all week long wasn't because we did everything God told us to do. It wasn't because we made sure that we were where we were supposed to be when we were supposed to be there. It wasn't because we went to Sunday school all the time. It wasn't because we went to Bible study all the time. Even if we did those things, the hedge of protection that was around us wasn't because of those things, but it's because of who God is. Because see, here's what I realized. I realized that God can be working behind the scene, even though he's not seen. He can be doing something behind the scene that you can't see. And there might be turmoil and things going all around me. But even then, God is working behind the scenes. Well, my Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that eyes have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the good things that God has prepared for us. So what that means is that God is working on my behalf even when I can't see it. And what I have to do is remember that if I can't trace his hand, I can still trust his heart. If I can't see what God is doing, I said, that's all right, Lord. I know you're working it out. I'm going through the storm right now, and there's trees blowing all around me, but I know you're going to bring me out. Because you haven't brought me this far to leave me, God. And I know you're not going to leave me right now. You brought me from the earliest existence of my life up until this present time. And nothing can hurt me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Listen. I know that there are many, many things that we, as the people of God, have to be careful that we don't get around folk that are contagious.
Amen.
Because of everything that they have, we're not careful, we'll get it ourselves.
Amen.
I know y'all heard on the news, and I thank God that nobody tried to quarantine the pastor because I have been in Dallas this week. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know what's going on in Dallas.
Right, right.
Because, see, they got a disease called Ebola. And Brother Ricky, the way Ebola works is that, you know, if you get into close contact with an individual that has this disease, it can be not only deadly for that individual, but it can also be deadly to you. And the reason why there's so much talk about Ebola is because it has the capacity to spread very quickly.
Amen.
And if it gets out in the people, before you know it, you can have what they call an epidemic. Well, listen. Back in the Garden of Eden, sin got out in Adam and Eve's family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It started when Adam's wife started talking to a snake. Y'all, we were there the other week. Amen. Adam didn't stop his wife from talking to snakes. And before he knew anything, they were kicked out of the garden. Amen. But see, sin didn't stop right there. They got their punishment. But the Bible said that they had two boys. One was Cain, and the other was Abel.
Amen.
And you know the story. Cain killed his brother Abel because sin was now at epidemic proportion. It just didn't stay in the garden. It had spread it outside of the garden. But you know they got a serum for this Ebola. And the serum said that if you take the serum, that what will kill somebody else won't kill you.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we have with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I know that's not as exciting as you would want it to be, but that's the reality of the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Sin is an epidemic.
Yes, sir.
But we have the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it is the only serum that will take care of sin.
Amen.
And what will kill somebody else, because you have received Jesus as your Savior, what will put somebody else in an early grave, what will cause someone else to lift up their eyes in hell, one day you will lift up your eyes and see the Lamb of God standing on his throne. I want to go there and get my crown. Because when I get my crown, I'm going to take it off. And when the 24 elders stand up, I'm going to stand up with them. And I'm going to throw my crown at his feet. And I'm going to say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Do you want to go see him?
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.